Morning, everyone. I really like stories, testimonies of God in action, whether they're in the Bible or other books that we read of great things that have happened in people's lives, or in the church, like we've heard this morning about this great testimony of God at work. And over these last 2 years of the pandemic, we've seen some great answers to prayers. We've also seen some situations where we didn't see the answers to prayer that we longed for. But those testimonies, those stories that remind us, like those stones that we read about in the children's story today, remind us of what God has done in the past, give us the faith to think that we can face what the future holds too. That God is powerful, that God is able, that God is active, and that God really cares about us. And we all need to be reminded of that when we're going through tough times and challenging times. My dad used to tell me lots of stories when I was little. I was little once, honestly. It's a long time ago, and I can remember. And one of the ones I really loved went like this. It was a dark and stormy night, and the rain fell down in torrents. And the captain said to Antonio, "Antonio, tell us a tale." And the tale was as follows. It was a dark and stormy night, and the rain fell down in torrents. And the captain said to Antonio, "Antonio, tell us a tale." And the tale was as follows. And so it went on and on, and I kind of really loved it. we've had stories today already involving waters. We've had words from God about ships and about sailing and about harbors. And I thought before we got into Romans, we would take a story of a miracle of Jesus today, just to set a course for our lives today with a sign of encouragement that God is active and in control. And it's the calming of the storm in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. It truly was a dark and stormy night. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Even the wind and the waves obey him. This story was of a particularly tough time for Jesus' disciples. Now, I know in the British church, we're really good at praying for the weather, aren't we? "Lord, we've got a meeting next week in the open air. Please pray that it doesn't rain," you know. This is a reminder that God is in charge of the rain and the winds. You know, it's a good story for British Christians. But it's the only time that I was thinking about when I was doing this preparation last night. Between up to Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, when the lives of these disciples were in real danger, they thought they were going under. They thought this was the end. If they could have sung the hymn for those in peril on the sea, they probably would have sung it. So let's go to the story. The context is given at the start of Mark chapter 4, where we read that it's been another busy day of ministry for Jesus and the disciples. So busy, in fact, the crowds were there. They were at the Sea of Galilee or the Lake of Galilee, that Jesus decided the best way to teach them today is I get into a boat slightly offshore, then they can't crowd all around me. We can put a bit, they won't all want to get wet. They'll sit on the seashore or stand on the seashore, and I'll teach them from the boat. And for the day, and you can read through chapter 4 some of the great stories Jesus told, Jesus does a day of teaching with these people. So many people have come to listen. I guess it had been a real day of excitement for the disciples, thinking, "Gosh, this is wonderful. Look at the crowds coming. This is really building momentum. You know, we've got a full church this morning. This is really good. You know, God's doing something." Very exciting days for them. And then Jesus says, the end of the day, tiring day, let's go to the other side of the sea or the lake, whether you call it the Lake of Galilee or the Sea of Galilee. And we read that this small flotilla of boats set off in verse 36. It's not just one of them. There's a whole group of boats. And so there were quite a few witnesses to what happened that day. And it was the calm before the storm. And no one anticipated the problems they would have. Jesus is very settled. I love these phrases in this story. You know, many people argue, well, in the gospel, you know, we're not sure that these miracles actually happened. But there's so many little things in this that it sounds like an eyewitness report. Jesus with a cushion. Jesus coming just as he was. A flotilla of boats were there. All things that you wouldn't add to a story unless it actually happened. You know, they're just very small incidentals that really build this thing up. Jesus, I love that phrase, just as he was. He came along. He was tired. He was ready for a kip. And he settles in what is the helmsman's or the pilot's seat at the back of the boat, at the stern of the boat. That was where the cushion was. That's the place. It was the comfortable seat for the person who was actually normally steering the ship. Probably he moved the cushion, I don't know, but he went to sleep. And here we've got this fully human Jesus asleep. Yet we're about to see the divine authority of the fully God Jesus at work. And, you know, in the Bible, we read this phrase, a furious squall came up. Now, this is literally the word for a hurricane. We are talking about gale force winds. BBC Radio 4 would put out a gale warning for this. This was a serious wind. Now, apparently, I've never been there around the Sea of Galilee because there's high mountains. The winds do come off the mountains at times, and they do stir up the sea. And of course, when the wind hits the sea, that's when you get big waves. And these waves were growing and growing and growing. It wasn't that unusual to have a storm, but obviously this was a pretty serious one. The wind picks up, the sea starts to get choppy, it starts to get a bit more choppy. And then suddenly, crashing over the side of the boat where Jesus is asleep, are these waves. And we read in verse 37 that the boat is nearly swamped. Now, undoubtedly, we don't have all the details of this. The disciples are doing their best with whatever they had to bail out the boat. We don't know what they had in the boat. You know, maybe they were even using their hands and doing this. I don't know. But feverishly, there's more water coming in than they're getting out. That's the problem. The problem is they're beginning to sink. And disaster kind of looms. Now, some of these disciples were very experienced fishermen who knew this sea like the back of their hand. But they had that sinking feeling that this was going terribly wrong. They realized they were in great danger and that this was a crisis. And despite the fact that Jesus was with them in the boat, the same boat he'd been teaching out of all day, doing his ministry, doing his stuff, they didn't feel safe. Jesus was there, they did not feel safe. In fact, rather than being a comforting thing, the presence of Jesus was really winding them up. Agitating them. We don't know how long they'd been trying their best to try and get this water out of the boat to try and stop this thing overflowing, but it wouldn't be just 2 minutes or so. This would be, you know, it was getting really dangerous now and getting quite serious. And Jesus is there, but he's doing nothing. Why in the midst of our storms? Why in the midst of our problems? Why in the midst of all the things that are going wrong that are kind of swamping us and overwhelming us and coming against us? When we believe that Jesus is with us and Jesus is there, why isn't he doing anything? Why is he just asleep? And the kind of question that we often ask about the circumstances we have in life, these guys were beginning to ask there and then. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And instead of being a blessing to them that Jesus is with me through this, the big question was, well, what's he doing? You know, what's this all about? You know, he's doing nothing and it seems totally uncaring of him. He's not changing anything. He just seems asleep. Well, he is asleep while we're overwhelmed. And the disciples woke him. I can't imagine it was with a gentle little, oh, Lord, wakey. Lord, excuse me. I imagine they're screaming at him above the wind and the waves. And that guttural sense of something that comes from within us in the midst of our pain and the things we don't understand and when things are going wrong, is the way they approach Jesus that day. Teacher, don't you care if we drown? There's a sense, you know, when the pressure's on us, when it all feels too much, when we can't cope, you know, what comes out of us often is an emotional gut response to a situation we feel completely out of control. God, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen? Why is this happening to me? In doing so, they're really challenging the character of Jesus. And they're accusing him of lack of genuine concern and love and care for them. You see, the outer storm had led to a real inner storm in their own lives. Jesus has been silent, but he's now about to silence the storm. He gets up and he takes control. He takes authority over the situation. Through the storms, he is Lord, Lord of all. He calms the storm on the lake, and he calms the storm in the disciples. He shouts at it, quiet, shut up, literally, silence. And he says, be still. The quiet, go to sleep. Be still is be muzzled. The idea of actually, you know, the bite of this, the aggression of this that's coming against us, stop. Jesus silences what the storm was both doing to the disciples and saying to the disciples. The storm was saying to the disciples, the storm they were in, and the situation they found themselves in, God doesn't really care. God doesn't really love us. God isn't really interested in us. That's what it was saying, and Jesus said, be quiet. What it was doing was it was overwhelming them. It was swamping them. It was coming against them, and Jesus said, be muzzled. Stop biting them. Stop attacking them. They'd been very afraid and had little hope, but Jesus calmed the storm. And we read that the wind died down and it was completely calm, literally perfectly peaceful. Jesus restored peace. Peace in them. Peace in the storm. And then he speaks to his disciples and he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now, I've put the emphasis on the so and the still. Their level of fear was challenged. You're so fearful in this situation. Their lack of faith was challenged. Still no faith. In the midst of what you find yourself in, after all they'd already seen and heard, you just have to read the first four chapters of Mark. They'd seen miracles, they'd seen deliverances, they'd seen healings. All the things that we need to be reminded of God at work through Jesus. This wasn't their first encounter with Jesus. They'd been with him now for months. And they'd seen him operate healings and miracles and take authority. And they'd heard his teaching. Still, no faith. Still, so afraid, after all you've seen, after all you've experienced, after all you've known, after all you've heard, after all you've seen, yet they still haven't fully grasped who Jesus is. Who is this? Who is he? Now, what about us? You know, we believe as Christians, of course, that Jesus is with us. And I just sometimes wonder whether we fully understand, I include myself in this, who Jesus is. We call him Lord. But what does that mean in our lives? These last 2 years have been so very challenging for so many people in our society and in churches up and down our nation too, for Christians. And it might feel at times you've wondered where Jesus is in all this. He might have felt like he's asleep in the boat, you know, we're with the church and Jesus is in the midst, but he doesn't seem to be doing anything or saying anything or Apparently, there doesn't seem to be anything happening in the circumstance that I've felt in life. I've struggled. We believe Jesus is with us. But we sometimes wonder whether he really cares. Does he really care? We've had good days. Great things have happened. It's been a great day. And sometimes you don't see the storms happening until they suddenly hit you. These furious squalls that suddenly come out of nowhere and you wonder, where's that come from? And why am I facing that now? And there are times that we feel overwhelmed and swamped and wonder, if Jesus is truly with us in the boat, why isn't he doing anything about the circumstance we find ourselves in? Just to cheer you up, this next year, in all our circumstances of life, we're going to have really good times, but we're also going to have really challenging times. There were a number of boats in this furious storm, but we don't read about any of them, any of the others. I assume that none of them sank. And I think some circumstances affect us all differently. Whatever happened, certainly they had the effects of the storm being calmed by Jesus, even if they were being swamped by it at the time or not. So they saw the effects of the miracle themselves, even though Jesus wasn't effectively in the boat, if you like. And I think circumstances in life affect us all in different ways. But what Jesus wants to say to me and to you and to us is, trust me, even when we feel overwhelmed. Even when we feel swamped, even when we feel out of our depth, afraid, out of control. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Trust me. Now, I know that's easier said than done, and I'm not standing up here as somebody who feels that I've got the all right. There are times when I struggle. And I think if we're all honest, we all struggle. I'm just trying to remind us that Jesus is there, even though we don't always hear him and he doesn't always apparently seem to be doing what we expect him to do. And when he doesn't do what we expect him to do, our gut feeling is that he doesn't really care about this situation. Sometimes, if we're honest. But although he doesn't appear to be active in our circumstances, he is with us. This year, we will be tested. Throughout the Bible, faith is tested. The Old Testament and the New Testament. It's an aspect of being a believer. Cheer up, as Jim Wilkinson from Hollybush would say. But I think Jesus will still speak to us. He wants to speak into our fear. He wants to speak into our faith. He wants to speak into our lives. He wants to bring his peace into our trouble. So as I close, what do we learn from this story? Look, I don't want to be simplistic about this or in any way cliched, but it's the truth we believe as believers in the Lord, you know, as Christians. Jesus is with us in the storms of life. He does not jump ship. Jesus hears our cry for help. Even though he might not immediately respond to it in the way that we're expecting him to, he hears that cry. Jesus does care for us. Even then, we can't understand how that care is being manifest. He is Lord. He has the final word and authority. Christ alone, cornerstone, through the storm, he is Lord. Lord of all. He does bring us to a place of peace. He will challenge our faith. But he is faithful. And Jesus had said to them, let us go over to the other side. Us. We're going together. We're in this together. We're in this storm together. We are going over to the other side. And guess what? They made it. Amen. God bless you.